From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Smokers need not apply. That's the message Wellmark has for potential employees in a new policy. But is it a company's place to dictate employees' behavior away from work? This hour, we ask this question in regards to smoking and other health-related behavior. My guests, Rob Schwiers of Wellmark, Ben Stone, Executive Director of Iowa's ACLU, Peggy Huppert of the American Cancer Society, and Peggy Agron, Program Chair for California's Project Lean. She'll tell us about California's trans fat ban. Good health policy or overreach? We want to know what you think. It starts right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Smokers need not apply. That's the message Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa is sending potential employees in a policy that will go into effect June 1st. Wellmark, which employs approximately 1,800 people in the state, is also asking existing employees to stop using tobacco by October 1st. So this hour, we want to ask, how much of a say should employers have in regards to what their employees do with their free time, in regards to smoking, but also in regards to other health-related behavior? What about cutting down on junk food, for example? What about getting enough exercise? Should an employer have a say there as well? We'd like you to join our conversation this hour. What makes good health policy? What is overreach and intrusion into our private lives? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Joining us first of all by phone from Des Moines, Rob Schwiers. He is a spokesman for Wellmark. Good afternoon to you, Rob.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you with us. Tell us about the points of this new policy for as it affects present employees and those who may be seeking employment at Wellmark.
Well, to start with our present employees, will not be allowed to smoke during business hours, which includes breaks and lunch, but that doesn't apply to what they do at home. We're not interested in dictating their behavior at night during the weekends when they're away from work.
Mm-hmm. What if they go off grounds and smoke during the lunch hour?
We term the term business hours as all day, including breaks and lunch. So we'll prefer that our employees not smoke during those times.
Okay. And in regards to those seeking employment?
For folks who are seeking employment at Wellmark beginning June 1st, we're going to ask them to assert that they are tobacco-free in order to be considered for employment.
They will sign something that says, I am a non-smoker.
Correct.
Okay. So tell us the thinking behind Wellmark's decision here to take a harder line with smokers, or in other words, to encourage smokers to stop and have a more healthy lifestyle, I guess you could also say.
And that's really what it's about. It's about encouraging our employees or future employees who smoke to live a healthier lifestyle. Really, it's about our commitment to provide a healthy, constructive, and productive work environment for our employees and the other folks who visit our premises.
Why this step? Why now?
It's part of an evolution, as I'm sure you've seen over time. I'm old enough to remember my first job out of college when people could smoke at their desk. And then that became an old conference room down the hall where people would go to smoke. And eventually the paint got too yellow there, so they sent people outside. And the next step in this evolution is to try and have that where it's not happening during the workday.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, also others in the healthcare industry, healthcare-related industries taking this step as well?
Oh, I can't speak specifically to that, but I would expect so. We should hold ourselves to a little higher standard in the healthcare industry. And as an insurer, we're seeing firsthand the impact that behaviors like smoking have on health and healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm. What are the costs involved?
Well, there's the cost of disease. There's the cost of productivity. There are studies that show that non-smokers are more productive than smokers. I can't speak to why the reasons are for that, but the research is out there. And the fact remains that tobacco use is the single most preventable risk factor for death and disease.
So out of two prongs to this. One, you're interested in the health and welfare of your employees, and two, it's also a legitimate cost for a business that you can and are trying to control.
You bet. We expect that our policyholders and our members, they want to pay as little as they can in administrative costs. And one way that we can help keep those costs down is by reducing the cost of the insurance that we provide to our own employees.
Will you be able to, in some time, trace this savings back to savings that people pay for insurance from Wellmark?
Oh, I'm not sure if how easy it'll be to track it down over the whole course of our membership, but we keep very close tabs on what our employees have for healthcare costs because we're looking at that to see what changes we need to make year after year. As with any business, oftentimes you'll see your premiums go up slightly or go down based on the amount of services that a group of employees uses over the year. So we keep very close eye on that, and we're looking at areas that might be problematic. Are employees getting too many knee replacement procedures, for example, or do we have more diabetes this year than last year?
What are the possible punitive measures for those who violate your new policy?
We're not really focused on punishment, per se. Really what we want to do, and this is why we're giving our current employees until October, is that we would like them to be able to get prepared to not smoke during the workday, and ideally we would love for them to quit. Again, we're not going to dictate what they do outside of work hours, but hopefully this might provide that last little bit of encouragement that our employees can take to stop smoking for good.
So how will then, if you haven't given any thought, you say, to punitive measures, how will this be enforced? With 1,800 employees, I would imagine there will be a number come October who will prefer to smoke and will hang on to this lifestyle.
Well, that's something that we'll have to deal with. Obviously, if people are trying to flout the policy by going outside the building and lighting up, then that's something that we'll have to deal with the employee and their and their leader or their supervisor. But we truly hope it doesn't come to that. That's not the focus of the policy. The focus is more on creating a healthy workforce in a healthy workplace.
Mm-hmm. As you've rolled out this, at least announced this new policy, I wonder if it's already evolved or if the press that I've been reading has not been quite accurate, because I was under the impression that when a person, even at home or away from work, was smoking, this would be a violation.
No, and that's been something that's been missing from some of the other reports. So, I'm happy to come on and at least put that piece of it.
That has never been the case.
Right. We don't want to dictate what our employees do when they're away from the office.
But if you have let's say someone applies, gets a job at Wellmark, signs the I am a non-smoker, swears to that, and then turns out months after the beginning of the employment, I know Jack. He lives in my neighborhood. He smokes all the time when he's out there at the barbecue, especially. So what do you do?
Well, I think exactly how we do that on a case-by-case basis is yet to be seen. Obviously, that is different from what you put on your employment application, so there are repercussions, for that. But really, it'll also be an opportunity for us to say, hey, we notice you're smoking. Why don't you take this opportunity to quit? We have resources that we make available to our employees. Our goal isn't to, go find a bunch of people who, we can fire. Our goal is to create a healthier workplace and a healthier workforce.
What has been the reaction to the announcement of this new policy, first of all, within your organization, Wellmark?
Well, I think within the organization and outside in the public, it's really about the same. We've got some folks internally who are smokers now who are concerned, perhaps a little bit fearful. We can't lose sight of the fact that tobacco use can be an addiction. So, naturally, they're concerned. And we're hearing from a lot of folks who are very happy with the policy. Mm-hmm. And I think you're seeing the same thing, play out publicly as well. If you, read all the comments that are posted under news stories, which I try to only do a little bit, you can see opinions all over the board. And obviously, it's a hot topic.
Yes, it has. Is Wellmark, are you surprised at the amount of press this is getting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. And it's one of these things. It's an internal human resources policy. This is not something that we have publicized. There hasn't been a news release on it. But, there are employees who are concerned and have gone to the media. So, yeah, it presents an opportunity for us to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's out there, it's all right to discuss it.
I've spoken with a number of people who are, in fact, very health conscious and are very surprised at this and do see it as an intrusion into people's lives more than perhaps should be. Can you empathize with these people, have an understanding for people worried about Big Brother looking in on what they see as their personal freedom away from work?
You understand the argument, of course, but at the same time, when we're looking at creating the best environment for our current and for our future employees, we felt like this was the right thing to do. It's within the law, and we felt that this was a good policy to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Are there other areas that where we can apply regulations, company rules to health that you might be interested in having? For instance, why not have a policy of, since we can drive a motorcycle in Iowa without a motorcycle helmet, why not have a policy of employees who drive motorcycles to always have helmets on?
Well, there are a variety of things that you can look at. You can look at, whether, people who eat cheeseburgers, I've seen that a lot. is that something that we should, have a policy on? Or motorcycle helmets, you name it. Right now, we're focused on, the smoking policy. Does that mean, we don't promote other healthy behaviors? You bet. We want our employees to exercise. We want our employees to eat right. We want our employees to take care of themselves and do things like wear helmets if they ride a motorcycle. But the purpose of this policy is really just to deal with smoking.
What would it take for Wellmark? You said you were surprised at the media attention this has gotten. What would it take for Wellmark not to implement this policy? Anything? Anything? Could something happen, you imagine, that would make you revise or rethink this policy?
No, we're confident that this is the right thing to do for our employees. It's all about creating a healthy and productive work environment. And we truly feel this is the right thing to do.
Okay, Rob Schwierz, I want to thank you very much for joining us, a spokesman for Wellmark. Thank you very much for taking the time to explain that policy to us, Rob.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And when we come back in just over a minute, we'll talk with Ben Stone, who is executive director of the Iowa ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. Also Peggy Huppert, Iowa Director of Governmental Relations for the American Cancer Society. A little later on, Peggy Agron, she's a program chair for California's Project Lean through the California Department of Health. And California, one of two states in the U.S. That has banned trans fats. So we're widening our conversation to discuss how this affects us. Where does personal freedom begin and our concern for health start there? And we'd like you to join our conversation. What is the policy at your workplace? Do you think it's fair, this new policy? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. How far should an employer go to regulate the health habits of its workers? We just heard from a spokesperson for Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa. They're sending a message to potential employees about a new policy. No smokers need apply. Also trying to make existing smokers on the Wellmark payroll kick the habit by October 1st. Joining us now, Ben Stone, Executive Director of the Iowa American Civil Liberties Union in the Iowa Public Radio Studios in Des Moines. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon, Ben. Thanks for having me.
And I assume you were listening into that conversation as it was explained by Rob Schwierz. So what are your concerns about this new policy?
Well, I'm quite confused, actually. I don't know if the listeners were able to figure it out any better than I could, but maybe you can help me, Ben. Is it going to be illegal for employees to be smokers at Wellmark after October 1st?
Well, we couldn't quite nail him down on that.
He wouldn't answer, would he?
There was ostensibly no thought to punitive measures. So they're going to cross that bridge when they come to it, I guess, was more or less.
Well, there was a lot of euphemisms in there. They're not encouraging healthy behavior. They're mandating it.
What's the difference and what's the problem with mandating healthy behavior?
Well, encouraging is education. It's telling people, here's the benefits, here's various ways you can be better healthy people, maybe giving them some financial help to pay for a membership at a club. But, you know, firing people who don't do what you tell them to do off work is clearly crossing the line. And actually what Wellmark is doing in this state would be illegal in North Dakota, Illinois, Minnesota, and Missouri.
There's Why?
Only one state. Because there are 33 states in this country that have laws that in some way or another say that it is illegal for employers to punish or sanction or discriminate against people for engaging in legal conduct off work premises.
Rob Schweer says this. He said it twice. He said this does not affect what people do in their homes.
Well, I think we're all just confused because, I mean, it doesn't make sense that he says that people have to be tobacco-free by June 1st if they're going to be trying to get a job. And then he said something about October 1st that everybody must quit. So it's too bad he didn't want to stay on and have a genuine conversation about this because I don't think we really understand what they're going to do there.
Statistics, according to the Center for Disease Control, say that a smoker costs an employer about $3,000 annually in additional medical costs, loss of productivity, which Rob Schweers also mentioned, though without those exact figures. So why should an employer, especially one in the healthcare industry, not be able to take this step? It fits their company. They want to have a healthy company. They want to have a healthy bottom line.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always tension between treating your employees like human beings and making money. And this is known as lifestyle discrimination. It's been in the terminology for about 20 years. And there are many companies that do this. And it's not just about smoking. This is about privacy. This is about the ability of people to live their lives away from their work. This is about riding motorcycles. It's about skiing. It's about sunbathing, mountain biking, snowboarding, playing basketball. You can get hurt, skydiving, driving a motorcycle. I mean, there are companies in this country that have actually mandated that people go to health clubs. There's companies that have said that you can't engage in these kind of recreational things that are dangerous. And the reason they do it, and the reason that Wellmark is almost certainly doing this, it saves them a great deal of money on their insurance premiums. When you can say, none of our employees smoke, none of our employees ride motorcycles, you get a better insurance rate. This is about profits. It's not about encouraging good behavior. It's about mandating it.
But as a non-smoker, if I have insurance with Wellmark, I'm happy about that, actually. Why shouldn't I be if it lowers my rates?
Yeah, well, if you're an insurance group, that's typically not done. Everybody's treated the same if you're at a company where there's a bunch of employees. It does affect the rates that they end up paying as a company, but it's not tied to the individual. And there actually is a move in the country to creating situations where basically you the whole idea of insurance is to spread the risk out.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you differentiate between employees, the more you're treating them in a way that makes it harder for them to survive. So there's regulations that have been talked about that would say that you can charge people that have propensity for cancer or something more. And there was a law passed by the federal government signed by George Bush that said that you cannot discriminate against people in employment or insurance because of their genetic makeup. It's the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008 that was supported by both the ACLU and the American Cancer Society.
I want to introduce another guest to our conversation. Peggy Huppert is the Iowa Director of Governmental Relations for the American Cancer Society, joining us by phone. Good afternoon, Peggy.
Good afternoon.
So I'm going to guess that you're going to side with Wellmark on this. What is your reaction to Ben Stone's reservations here?
Well, I think there's a little bit of overreaching and generalization. I really don't think we can compare smoking to playing basketball. I don't think that's a fair comparison. Smoking has all kinds of known risks attached to it. It's the number one cause of cancer, as well as many other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
it has, and it doesn't just affect the smoker, it affects everyone around the smoker. So we do applaud Walmart for taking this step because I think it is about, to be fair to Walmart, more than just about the bottom line. They are connected with the healthcare industry. They're a provider of health insurance. They're not just any company.
So they should have a different standard, you're saying?
Yeah, I believe them when they say that's why they're doing it. I'm sure part of it does have to do with costs, but I don't think that's the driver. The American Cancer Society, for example, has a no tobacco policy for all of its employees and has had for a long time. We think that it would be hypocritical for us to do otherwise.
Hmm.
We are huge proponents of making tobacco usage more difficult, more expensive, and harder to do because we know the health benefits of that. So it would be hypocritical of us to talk about that in the public policy sense, but then to have employees who use tobacco.
Ben Stone of the ACLU, doesn't that make sense? It would be hypocritical of Wellmark to have a policy that would allow this, that you want them to be, as an organization, clear about their mission and have their employees on board completely, right?
First of all, hello, Peggy.
Hi, Ben.
Good to hear from you. We're acquainted. I wanted to make sure we said hello. Actually, all of these state laws that protect against lifestyle discrimination, as far as I know, virtually all of them have exceptions for nonprofits like the American Cancer Society, and it's very clearly a justified condition of employment for working there. But in terms of the, you know, it's interesting, Peggy, that the spokesperson for Wellmark was not willing to come on engage.
I get your point there.
And I think that, you know, last I checked, Wellmark did engage in, you know, excluding people from coverages if they had pre-existing conditions and things like
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, Wellmark is this great, benevolent organization just looking out for their employees. I mean, they are a profit-oriented business.
Right.
My guess
is this is
very much about that.
I agree that they are also not just any company, and they are in the business of promoting healthy lifestyles. And I just want to clarify that the American Cancer Society is opposed to lifestyle rates for insurance. So punishing smokers, that's why we signed the thing that you cited about punishing people for their genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Ben is right. We side with the Civil Liberties Union on that. We, in all the debate on health care reform, we were very adamant that smokers or obese people, for example, not be discriminated against in the setting of rates.
Peggy, we have to take a short break. We'll be back. Please stay with us. Peggy Huppert and Ben Stone of the ACLU will be back in just a moment. Join our conversation. Lots of calls, people wanting to get in on this. 1-866-780-9100 or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. How far should an employer go to regulate the habits of its workers?
He said you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat and said, imagine that. Put me working for you. Oh, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out your scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
Back with the Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. Smokers need not apply. That's the message Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa is sending to potential employees. Policy going into effect in June 1st. Also, for those existing employees, Wellmark wants them to stop using tobacco by October 1st. The or else part of that new policy, not clear. After our conversation with Rob Schweers, spokesman for Wellmark in our first half hour, still with us, we have Peggy Huppert, Director of Governmental Relations for the American Cancer Society, Ben Stone, Executive Director of the Iowa American Civil Liberties Union. We welcome your call, your comments. What is the policy at your place of work? Do you think it's a fair policy? How far can policies go in terms of getting a job, holding on to a job, and your personal health habits? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. 9100 or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And we do want to get to those calls very quickly, but before that, I want to turn to Ben Stone at our studios in Des Moines. And you've stated, Ben, very clearly your opposition to this and the potential you see out there for other things happening in restricting people's lifestyles. What action, past speaking out against it, does the Iowa ACLU plan to take?
Well, we've always been interested in seeing if there was a possibility of getting a state law passed. It hasn't risen to a priority, but back in about 1993 or 94, there actually was a bill in the Iowa legislature that almost passed, just didn't quite make it. And it would be nice to join the list of states almost completely surround us that do believe it's important to protect the ability of people to leave work and live their lives as they choose and deal with the choices they have to make and not have those choices mandated by their employer.
Mm-hmm. So the
lifestyle discrimination is it's more than smoking. This is much more than that. It is about mandating that people join health clubs. It's about mandating that people not engage in behaviors that and I think another thing that isn't really as obvious, and that is, you know, what stops a company from saying, if you want to work here, we're going to check your cholesterol, see if you have high blood pressure. I mean, imagine how much money they could save.
Mm-hmm.
There's no law against that, as far as I know.
So,
I mean, there's a slippery slope here that's more than just hypothetical, and I think we need to be on the be very wary for it.
Now, the ACLU does bring lawsuits. Why not a lawsuit in this case?
It would lose. There's no law. You know, this is not the government. There's no Fourth Amendment that works against Wellmark or any other private company. And because Iowa does not have a statute that protects people against lifestyle discrimination by companies, there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Let's go to our first caller, Judy, with us from Martinsdale. Hi, Judy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And I applaud Wellmark for taking this particular stance. I think that smoking is the number one cause of cancers and many other diseases, and it is purely a lifestyle choice. It is not it does not have a genetic component like cholesterol might have or high blood pressure might have. It is purely a person's choice, and the costs associated with that are shared by the company. In most cases, the company pays the premiums, and so I think they do have a right to mandate that at least during work hours, those choices are not acted on. And furthermore, I think in the whole healthcare reform debate that we just went through, there was almost a total lack of conversation about individual responsibility for bringing healthcare costs down. And I think Wellmark, as the primary insurer in Iowa, is sending a very strong message that the individual choices do make a remarkable difference in healthcare costs. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy calling from Martinsdale. Response from Ben Stone?
Well, I think that perspective, you know, it's understandable, but you got to understand that can justify a whole range of things. I mean, if not just smoking, but the reason I mentioned basketball is I know a couple of friends that have blown out their knees playing pickup basketball in their mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reconstructive surgeries. I mean, there are people that, you know, when you leave work, your life is your own. And if, for instance, if they wanted to say, well, look, we will save money if we mandate that everybody go to the health club, and they can prove that they go. And if you don't go, you're going to either lose your job or you get some kind of a financial disincentive. Well, there may be other things after work that you need to do. Maybe you need to take your kids to soccer games or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are all kinds of things that if we allow bottom line justifications for health care costs to drive the decisions of companies and have no force pushing back that says enough's enough. You know, you cannot mandate that these people working for you cannot go rock climbing, cannot ride motorcycles, or that they have to be a certain body mass index. I mean, there was a great deal of problem with people who are overweight, who are facing these type of things where what's being used to justify what Wellmark is doing with the smokers could very easily be used to justify having people who have weight problems either you lose weight or you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Peggy Huppert, do you buy any of that, the slippery slope? That what this? I know you're mostly concerned with smoking, though there are other causes of cancer. Barbecuing could be a cause of cancer, couldn't it? There are carcinogenics created when you burn that T-bone a little bit too much.
Yeah, I understand the Civil Liberties Union concern about the slippery slope. And that, I want to emphasize that again, that the Cancer Society has argued against lifestyle premiums in insurance. And specifically, it could be up to 40 or 50% higher premiums, charging people more money because of particular lifestyle. We are opposed to that because we don't want to see smokers or people who are overweight or who have other lifestyle-related factors excluded from insurance, because then the people who need access to cessation services and other lifestyle preventative services and help the most would be excluded from it. Mm-hmm. And we're really very much opposed to that. I think that there's a couple of different arguments going on here. But in terms of employers being able to set rules for their employees, that's pretty clearly established by case law. Ben is right that some states have laws that says you can't. For example, Minnesota is part of our division and American Cancer Society. Even though we have a rule that says that if you want to work for the Cancer Society, you can't use tobacco, in Minnesota, we can't require that. So
they don't have that exception that I mentioned.
No, in Minnesota, yeah. We can't enforce that. Although voluntarily, my understanding is that all of our employees in Minnesota voluntarily don't use tobacco. And we've had this rule in place since the early 90s, and we've never had an issue or a problem with an employee having to enforce it in terms of threatening to fire someone or finding out that they lied. We've just never had a problem or an issue with that. I could see where there could be. So, I mean, I understand what Ben is saying, and it can be a thorny problem.
This email, before we go back to the phones, from Megan. Megan writes, I worked for a law enforcement agency that did not allow you to have smoked for a year before being hired. Hmm. As part of the interview process, you were required to take a lie detector test, and one of the questions was to verify that you were a non-smoker. It was my choice to apply for the job, and I thought the policy was great. I don't see what is wrong with discouraging something that is widely agreed upon as detrimental of the health of not only the smoker, but everyone else who is exposed to it secondhand. Joshua is joining us by phone from Iowa City. Hi, Joshua.
How's it going?
Great. Thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
My employer currently, they've enforced no smoking, and I work outdoors away from elsewhere, like people and establishments, and we're not allowed on our, you know, they say if we catch you on your breaks smoking, you're going to, I mean, we've had people fired, good quality workers fired, and not only that, they're against cell phones being at work. As a matter of fact, I probably shouldn't be on my phone right now.
So you could get fired. You're at work. You could get fired for talking on your cell phone to us right now. You're outside.
I'm on my lunch break right now, and I'm not allowed to make personal phone calls. And my hours, you know, are 7 in the morning till whenever in the evening, mm-hmm. typically 10-hour days. What am I supposed to make?
Yeah, you know? Joshua, it sounds to me, am I sensing that you think that these rules are overly draconian?
Yes. Yes, I think we work very hard for our money, and, you know, they should be a little lenient, you know, and maybe trust their workers a little more.
But Joshua, you could go work somewhere else.
It's a tough market right now. You know, I did apply to plenty of jobs. It's hard to find other work.
Joshua, thank you so much for your perspective from Iowa City. Is it Eileen from Rock Island?
Yeah. Eileen.
Eileen, hi.
Yes.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling from Rock Island. I have a personal experience with smoking. My husband died of lung cancer last year. He had not smoked for 25 years, and we lived a very healthy lifestyle. But I do agree with Wellmark's decision, because smoking affects not only the person who is smoking, but again, the secondhand smoke, even the smell on the clothes. Say a person next to them has asthma or an allergy, and the smell on the clothes could affect that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it does affect people other than the smoker, whereas other risky behaviors such as riding a motorcycle, rock climbing, that affects that person involved, mm-hmm. but whereas smoking affects all the others involved.
Eileen, I'm certainly sorry to hear about your husband, but do you understand the slippery slope here that Ben Stone is describing here? Where do we stop if we start here and then we start talking about cheeseburgers? And
I agree, but that affects just that one person. If one person has high cholesterol, it affects that one person, whereas smoking affects all the people nearby.
Peggy Hupper, what about that? People coming to work, say they only smoke at home, their clothes inevitably have some residue on them, they come to work. Is that a health hazard to people at work, even though they're not smoking at work?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a thing called third-hand smoke, which is there are carcinogens that surround the smoker, and there definitely is a smell, which I think is probably what Wellmark is concerned about in terms of their workers smoking during the workday. I think that would probably be a little tougher case to make in terms of what if they do it at home as opposed to during the workday. And just to clarify, I mean, I'm obviously not the Wellmark spokesperson, but my understanding of their policy is that what they're saying is effective June 1, any new hires would have to state that they don't use tobacco at any time.
Right.
Their current employees have until October 1 to not smoke during the workday, and that's my understanding of their policy. I don't think they've come to the point yet of deciding about any enforcement or punishment. But getting back to the effects of other people, that's what the American Cancer Society, that's what we've worked towards smoke-free laws because of that very thing, because of the effect. And I know it's been compared to eating a Big Mac, or it's compared to a lot of other, that'll be the next thing that we're talking about. But smoking is unique, and that is a behavior that affects those around them. And in fact, many people who get lung cancer get it because of secondhand smoke, not firsthand smoke. And secondhand smoke is actually more dangerous in a lot of regards than firsthand smoke. So that's why we're concerned about people smoking in workplaces and why we've worked toward public policy to restrict smoking.
A quick word from Ben Stone before we go back to the phones.
Yeah, I was just going to point out, the ACLU has never resisted efforts to make workplaces smoke-free, and I think that mm-hmm. handles a lot of the secondhand smoke issues at the workplace. I think that my guess is that if there was someone that had asthma that was actually negatively affected by a neighboring worker that just came in from and smelled a smoke, that person could be accommodated by the company without too much trouble, be my guess. But it's interesting, Ben, you had that email that you read right after the break, and mm-hmm. I noticed that the email used the word encourage. This is encouraging. I mean, that's the point. I mean, people can't even use the word of an employer mandating or forcing people as a condition of employment to change their behavior away from work. I think Americans are very uneasy with that. And I think that if people really let that sink in, they'll get a little queasy about this.
Michael is in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Michael. Welcome to our conversation. Are you happy with the state of affairs if you were a Wellmark employee?
Well, I'm a non-smoker, but I don't think I particularly would like the policy. I guess the way I look at this is I'm thinking if we take kind of a step back and look at it a little bit more systemically, the problem is that our health insurance is tied to our employment, and this gives an employer a reason to want to try and do these things when if our health insurance wasn't tied to our employment, they wouldn't have to. And I guess I can see where we don't want or it wouldn't directly be the business's business concern. And obviously, as Peggy said, we don't want to have people who are smokers have other health problems be excluded from health insurance. But if they can't get a job anywhere, where are they going to get health insurance?
Well, that's a really good point.
Michael, thank you for that perspective from Cedar Rapids. I wanted to, before we end the hour, turn to another development that has to do with law, health, and our behavior in Europe. Denmark, Switzerland, and Austria, they have already banned them. While here in the U.S., they have been banned in New York and California. These are trans fats, also known as fatty acids, chemically altered vegetable oils, which prolong the shelf life of many of our foods. Joining us quickly now to talk about California's trans fat ban, another Peggy Agron, program chair for California's Project Lean through the California Department of Public Health. Good afternoon to you, Peggy.
Good afternoon.
We don't have much time left. You've been listening to our conversation this hour. How has California's trans fat ban been going since it went into effect in January?
Well, trans fats have been gradually increasing in restaurants and food supply over the years, and most individuals wouldn't know the difference. And as they have been also gradually declining in the food supply, most individuals don't know the difference. So the food industry, the restaurant industry, has formulated, you know, new fats that don't have the trans fats that have gradually been replacing the trans fats, and most individuals don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, but thus far, only two of our 50 states, New York and you in California, have this ban on trans fats. Any sign of other states following suit or having a federal ban on trans fats?
You know, I haven't heard too much about it. I think it's inevitably when restaurants are reformulating, particularly the national chains, my guess is that they will begin to reformulate nationally. They're not going to probably want to have different products in different states. So I think when large states in particular pass these kind of laws, it does have health implications around the country.
Have there been any real critics of the trans fats ban in California?
You know, when the law was going through, there was some outcry from the restaurant industry, but not really from consumers. And since it's gone into effect, the law was actually signed in 2008, so there was a time period for restaurants to adapt their products. And no, there really hasn't been an outcry. It's one of these public health actions that can have widespread positive health benefits without really directly, you know, causing any kind of disturbance with individuals.
Mm-hmm. Are there any resources put towards enforcement, or are we just trusting that there are no trans fats going into the products anymore in California?
No, enforcement is part of the local health departments who have jurisdiction over health and safety code in restaurants. So when they do their health and safety inspections, this is now part of their protocol.
Mm-hmm. Have there been people caught with trans fats still in the foods?
You know, it just went into effect January 10, so I haven't heard of any.
Mm-hmm. What is the penalty for someone still putting trans fats in a food?
The violation is punishable by a fine of not less than $25 and not more than $1,000.
Mm, okay. Ben Stone, Executive Director of Iowa's ACLU, do you see that as a quite different kettle of fish than the smoking prohibition at Wellmark?
Well, yeah, you're basically talking about regulating a business that's agreed to be a regulated enterprise by becoming a licensed restaurant. You know, I mean, that's the cost of doing business. There's regulations, and it's really very similar to the smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people came to us all the time and was like, look, when you agree to open a restaurant, you agree to pay your workers a certain wage, you agree to clean your restaurant and not have food laying everywhere. There's regulations to running a restaurant. This is just another one.
Okay. Ben Stone, you said don't have a problem. The ACLU doesn't have a problem with no smoking ban at work, but you feel that Wellmark in this case has stepped over the line. Describe for us in the last minute or so of the program, where is that line? If you're afraid about going further, you've said this mm-hmm. is too far already. Give me a clear definition of where that line is between personal freedom and protecting the public health and the company's right to own to run its business the way it sees fit.
Well, it's hard to do that in 1 minute, but I'll give it a shot. Basically, you know, companies have a legitimate interest in having their employees perform well and to help them make money. And to the extent that someone's behavior off campus might impact their ability to do their job, not just, you know, bad image, that's legitimate. But mainly, if you're away from work and you're engaging in lawful activity, mm-hmm. you're consuming alcohol. I mean, there are companies that have fired people because they use alcohol, or if you drink too much, or whatever. So if you're engaged in lawful activity away from work, that should be protected. You shouldn't have any adverse impact on your employment from that. And many states have passed that, and we ought to try doing that here in Iowa.
Very good. Thank you very much. Ben Stone, Executive Director of Iowa's ACLU, joining us from Iowa Public Radio Studios in Des Moines. Thank you to Peggy Huppert, Director of Governmental Relations for the American Cancer Society, joining us by phone. Thank you, Peggy.
You're welcome.
And our Peggy in California, Peggy Agron, Program Chair for California's Project Lean, telling us about the trans fats ban there. Peggy in California, thank you.
Thank you.
And The Exchange is produced by Jeff Schmidt, Catherine Perkins, and Alex Hoyer. Our producer assistant today, Christoph Mai. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting and on-demand audio available by going to iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thanks for all the feedback, the input on this hour. Join us again tomorrow. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.